Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
And now, a brand new episode of the Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM with hosts Alan Mahana and Hod Solo.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM. I'm Alan Mahana, as always, and welcome, screeners. This week, so much to talk about, so many controversial things. A famous legendary figure celebrates his 90th birthday. HBO and Game of Thrones is going a little crazy with the title of the new series. The prequel series, Breaking Bad and The Walking Dead are expanding into movies. The Avatar film titles are causing havoc. So much to talk about, so much to discuss. But I couldn't do it alone, as always, because joining me is the solo to my Chewbacca Hod Solo.
Hello, hello, Alan. Hello, screeners.
Hello, screeners.
How are you guys doing? How's everyone? Indeed. How are you doing, Alan? How's your day coming along?
I mean, it's going well. It's going well. I woke up and didn't even realize that this week a famous cartoon figure celebrated their 90th birthday.
Really? Really?
Yeah, Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse celebrated his 90th birthday. Yeah. And so here on Script to Screen, we want to wish him a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mickey Mouse.
Right.
Not Mickey Mouse, by the way.
Just Mickey Mouse. So they had a big, fantastic, spectacular special on television in America.
Yeah.
So many singers, celebrities sang, wished him a happy birthday. Mm-hmm. Bob Iger came on stage.
Wow.
And celebrated and said happy birthday. So we wanted to make sure that we joined in the celebrations.
Definitely.
Here at Script to Screen and wished Mickey Mouse a hot dog birthday.
We'll be popping the champagne after the show.
Absolutely. So much to talk about today. We have a movie of the week where we're both almost on the same page.
Yep.
with our thoughts about the film. But before then, I kind of wanted to just jump right in and talk about this little, because it's not a massive piece of news, but it is something that I do want to discuss.
Yeah.
It seems George R.R. Martin and HBO are at it again.
It's the
real Game of Thrones is not over.
No, the real life Game of Thrones.
The real life Game of Thrones. It seems for the prequel series, George R.R. Martin has shared that he wants the series to be called The Long Night.
Yes.
And HBO, it ain't happy.
They don't like it.
They don't like it at all. What do you think?
I think it's kind of cool.
I like it.
It's pretty. It works.
It's got its darkness factor, which is kind of really cool.
The Long Night, you know, like very Game of Thronesy, very much within that universe.
Yeah, exactly. And I can hear it, you know, previously on The Long Night.
Yes,
you know, like
exactly.
Like it works. It's exciting. It works. It's something that's relevant to fans of Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Because it's this thing that's been talked about and spoken about on the show. Book readers obviously know a lot about The Long Night.
Yep.
I like it. I don't know why HBO is hating on the title.
I have no idea. I
mean, but hate is gonna hate.
Yep, but it's a catchy title too.
I like it. I mean, I like it. You've got GOT and now you've got TLN. Yep. I mean, it just works. It works.
TLN.
It works.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I like it. Like I said, it's... And you really shouldn't be arguing with the man that created Westeros.
It's his baby.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why HBO is even bothering with the argument. They should just be like, thank you, George, for creating the work. Yes.
Yeah, you know, thank you for expanding the universe.
Thank you for allowing us to butcher and expand the universe even further. I don't know.
I can think of a lot of, like, episodes at night which are long and fights and wars.
I mean,
and
yes, it just,
and
it just
plotting
works.
And
just,
you know,
works.
Going all evil at night.
It's got that sinister feel. Yeah. You know, you could throw in the politics in there because Alan and the Game of Thrones politics.
Oh yeah,
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. I mean, I don't know, I like it personally. Yeah. I think HBO is being a little prejudgy on this, much like another story we'll be talking about regarding titles. But yeah, I mean, I don't know why HBO is hating.
They got to calm down. They got to chill the F down.
You know, on the same level of HBO's hate was what I thought of this week's movie of the week.
Yeah, the movie of...
Should we even call it a movie? I don't even know.
It was an attempt.
It was a very, very nice... I mean, not even, you know, good try, maybe, you know, like C for effort.
You know what sucks? It's that it had potential.
So much potential. So much potential. But again, when you take a mastermind out of the game...
Yeah, leave it.
You know.
Yeah, leave it.
All right, so the movie that we're talking about, enough teasing here. The movie that we are talking about today is none other than Sony Pictures' brand new entry into / reboot / who the heck knows.
Sequel.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. But it is The Girl in the Spider's Web.
Yep.
Here we go.
Whatever she's planning, it's bigger than just you.
I know what she's capable of. We're running out of time.
Now the world will burn. And everyone will know. It was you who lit the match.
What, you thought she didn't have a plan?
All right.
Yep.
Isn't it crazy that just the music of the trailer makes you way more excited than you should be for this movie? Like, it pumps you up.
It does.
It pumps you up.
The trailer is good.
I mean, and that's basically it.
And the end.
This movie should have been called The Girl and the Me Too Movement.
Ooh.
Okay, so, all right. Let's talk about the very minor positives of the film first before we dive in and just start shredding it.
Yeah. But let's be nice.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Can you be nice while shredding it? I don't know.
I'll try.
Right. So the cast does a decent job.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Claire Foy does what she can with this role. I was excited to see her in a role that's very different than Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
I don't know if this was the right role for her personally.
It could have been, I think.
Again, maybe it's because the material wasn't...
The script
wasn't that great. So again, she did what she could.
She did her best.
She did what she could. I really liked... I forgot her name. The woman who played her sister.
Okay, yeah.
Camilla.
Mm-hmm.
Camilla Salander. I liked what she did with the role.
Mm-hmm.
She really gave off this very twisted, scarred human being. The little kid, August.
Oh, you liked him?
I did. I didn't think it was that bad.
I wasn't a fan of the... I didn't want to talk about the kid, but not a big fan
okay.
of the kid.
And that was basically it for me.
That's all, folks.
Yep. Because the guy who played Mikhail was flat.
You know who he reminded me of physically a bit? Freddie Highmore.
Yes.
His face.
He has
kind of Swedish Freddie Highmore.
Yeah. Swedish Freddie Highmore. I see it. The fact that I can barely even remember character names just goes to show how much of an effect this film left on me. You know, her American buddy, mm-hmm. was also very flat for me.
Yeah.
You know, the head of the federal agency in Sweden, the woman, was there even a point to her character? Yeah, I mean, just it's just flat. It's very flat.
Yeah.
All the layers that the great David Fincher left on the girl with the dragon tattoo, all those layers and all that complexity and subtlety even was all just thrown in the garbage bin mm-hmm. for this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had other issues too with the movie.
Well, I mean, we haven't even gotten to the, you know, we were trying to talk about the positives.
The only positive thing I said, I believe, in my review was Claire Foy. As you said, she did an admirable job with what she had.
She tried.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, she tried.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know where Sony Pictures felt that they needed to go all Captain America Winter Soldier in this movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, very conspiratorial CIA. What I said in my review was it felt a lot like a Jason Bourne movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it didn't feel like the girl with the dragon. Like the subtlety, again, like I don't want to repeat myself, but the subtlety that David Fincher created with the girl with the dragon tattoo, it was so good.
Yeah.
And the music, the Trent Reznor soundtrack, and the camera movement, and it's just so subtle. It's so intricate. It's mm-hmm. so beautifully crafted. And they just threw it away to make like an action flick. And, you know, I didn't get it.
I think what Sony's trying to do right now is just banking financially.
Are they trying to become relevant again?
They're trying, but it's not working.
Not really.
I mean, with Venom, they went for something more commercial.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
With A Girl in the Spider's Web, they went more commercial with this whole reboot / sequel. My problem is the movie, and I say this in my review, the movie doesn't know what it's supposed to be.
Right.
So as you said, it's a Jason Bourne / maybe even James Bond Skyfall kind of.
Oh, that opening sequence. Wasn't that very James Bondy? Yeah.
And then you have a superhero kind of vigilante acts. And so you think Batman, especially when I saw the Lamborghini.
Oh, I mean, the Lamborghini. Yeah, you said it to me in the movie. You were like, well, Batman.
Batman's going to pop up.
And hello, that opening shot, the first time you see Elizabeth in the movie, she's standing before that giant angel thing.
Exactly.
With the white makeup on. Like literally, that's a hero's mask.
And then at one point, it tries to be a bit gory with the scene with the guy with the nose or without nose.
Right.
Okay. But then they never stick to one thing. They try to do so many different things left and right that they end up doing nothing.
Do you notice something? This was our same issue with another Sony production. This was our issue with Venom.
Yes.
Venom also could not figure out tone. It's like they're trying to give... Yeah, you threw in an Arabic.
Lebanese.
They're trying to figure... You know, they're trying to please everyone. You want horror? We'll give you horror. You want action? Yeah. Here's a little bit of action. You want comedy? Oh, there we go. We've got everything. We're doing everything.
Absolutely.
Because we're Sony Pictures.
We can give it to everyone.
No.
And that destroyed the film.
You know what I wrote in my review, and I think this was the biggest problem for me in the script when it comes to the screenplay. They were trying to subvert expectations. They were kind of trying to subvert expectations. Mm-hmm. There's a great screenwriter. I guess he's written a textbook. He's a big educator in screenwriting and storytelling.
Yeah.
His name is Robert McKee.
Okay.
And what Robert McKee says, there's a line in his book, Story. Literally. Mm-hmm. And he says, difference for the sake of difference leaves you with nothing but an empty shell.
There you go.
And this is exactly what Venom did. This is exactly what Girl in the Spider's Web did. They were trying to be different for the sake of being different. And when you do that, you lose the heart of the movie.
I completely agree. The genuine
factor of the film. You lose the truth. And this is what happened here. They were trying to be too political. They were trying to, and for me to say too political,
something.
Yeah. But nothing about this movie felt genuine. And that was my biggest problem with it.
And I know the movie is called The Girl in the Spider's Web. So it's focused on Elizabeth's character. But Michael Blomkvist Yeah, I think I said it properly.
Yeah.
His character was so sidelined.
Yeah.
So useless.
And his and if, when you think about the potential of that character.
Look at Daniel Craig.
So much. Yes.
Look at Daniel Craig in the first one. Yes. He had his amount of time, but he had an impact. And the guy missed actor.
Again, it's David Daniel Fincher. Craig, it's Daniel Craig. It's David Fincher.
Rooney Mara.
And Rooney Mara. I mean.
Rooney Mara literally pierced her face for the role. I think she was Oscar nominated for that role, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so as well.
Yeah, but clear, again, she tries, but this is the material, this is the script. And
you believed Rooney Mara's badassness.
Yeah.
You do not believe Claire Foy's badassness. No. I'm sorry. No. Like, I love her. You have no idea how much I love Claire Foy. I'm a big fan of The Crown. I think she's one of the strongest actors, like up and coming actors. She's so good, but this was not the role for her. This was not the role for her at all.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it was so freaking long.
Yeah, it's 2 hours and 25 minutes.
But it's but it's one of those movies where you feel the 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah. Much like The First Man, which also had Claire Foy in it. Why is she taking roles?
There's like a circle between Venom and Claire Foy.
Yeah. Oh well. I mean, again, it is what it is. Go watch it. Let us know what you think. There really isn't much we want to say about this movie, is there? I mean, I like the soundtrack. The soundtrack was really cool.
It's okay.
But I thought Trent Reznor's soundtrack for the first one is much better, which is why that's the thing.
And there's one more thing I want to say in this movie. It's that they try to surprise you at every corner.
Oh,
and
I said this too.
And it works the first time, maybe the second time. But then you're like, yeah, okay, something is going to happen. And then after that, I think something's going to, and it happens. And they lose the element of being unpredictable. They become predictable.
You know how I said it in my review? I was like, you can only show a magic trick so many times before the audience knows, you know, the sleight of hand, you know? The other thing was the illogical, like there were so many things that were just completely lacking of logic. You know, an entire brood of FBI and nobody sees a freaking GoPro camera hanging on a fence. Nobody sees
this. By the way,
this?
The movie, I think, is offensive to the Swedish police. They make them look like incompetents.
Yeah, they're the biggest idiots.
Every time something wrong, the guy gets out of prison, the doors open, someone walks in, it closes. Poor people. No, I am sure these are more competent. Why would you do that?
I don't know. Okay, so moving on with our first grouping.
Yeah.
We have a lot to talk about today. So our first grouping. So here we go. AMC seems to be wanting to expand on many universes, apparently. The Walking Dead is expanding their Undeadverse.
Yes.
I don't know if that's what they officially call it, but I named it that, and I kind of like it.
The Walkerverse.
The Walkerverse.
Because they're the Walkers.
Okay, the Walkers. Okay, that makes sense. Well, obviously, you can tell that I don't watch The Walking Dead, so you're going to jump in on that.
Yep.
And then they're also expanding their...
Breaking Badverse.
White...
Heisenverse.
The Heisenverse. Yes. So they're also expanding the world of Breaking Bad. They're making a movie focusing on Jesse's character, apparently, and his escape from the neo-Nazis, which, reading this article, literally spoiled all of Breaking Bad for me, because I've only seen season one.
Yeah.
So I know, guys, I know. Don't flip out at me.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
I know. There's so much to watch in so little time.
True.
Go ahead. I mean, this is all you here. Comment on both, because I'm a little illiterate when it comes to these two topics.
So basically, the new Walking Dead season, which I haven't watched yet because I like to wait for a few episodes. But what we talked about in previous episodes of Script to Screen is that the actor who plays... Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick Grimes.
Because he's leaving, right?
He left the show.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So his final episode was this week, I believe.
Okay.
And
are you avoiding spoilers like the plague?
I'm avoiding. I'm not reading anything. Whenever I see a picture of him, I just scroll down. But what I do know is that they want to make three movies with Rick Grimes. Now, I didn't read into it a lot because it would spoil what has currently happened.
Right.
But... So
you don't even know if this is like post him leaving or pre him leaving. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
But here's the thing. The Walking Dead is a show that's been struggling for a few seasons.
Okay.
It's lost a lot of viewership, a lot of fans for many different reasons. The problem with this, I think they should focus more on the series itself, try to revive it properly, work on it properly, maybe introduce new characters, and forget the whole universe thing.
Okay.
Because they had another show, which I never got into, which was...
Yeah, but it's doing really well. Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah. But again, it's the same concept.
And this is before, right? Before it kind of started spreading and...
But it's during, like, within the events of zombies and walkers.
But, okay. But very, I thought the first season is kind of what led up to the... Okay.
And then it...
It's moving
along. It drags on.
Okay.
Exactly. So... Again, focus on this, but it's a show that has potential. It's a show that was supposed to last, if I'm not mistaken, 3-4 seasons and then stop.
And now they're on like season
9.
Wow. Okay.
They had this, and I was happy because, you know, they had the content they wanted. They had the story they wanted, and that's it. It should have finished there. But then they kept on dragging and then killing characters off, and I don't want to spoil anything because you haven't seen anything.
I mean, zombies aren't really my thing. Yeah. So I, you know, but yeah, in case someone else.
Yeah,
wants
in case
to, sure.
in case someone else. But there's the big Negan scene where he kills off two of the main characters, which I think this is where a lot of fans were upset.
Yeah.
Because they're like, enough is enough. Just too much, too depressing, too sad.
Right.
I was okay with it. I didn't mind because. It's fine. I mean, that's Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
I'm used to that because of Game of Thrones. It's amazing what that show has done to us in terms of sensitivity with other...
I think that is a spotlight episode in the making, I think. To talking about our desensitization. Desensitizing due to Game of Thrones.
Exactly. Not that I wasn't sad when these characters were killed off.
Well, obviously.
But again, I... was okay when that happened. Mm-hmm. So again, focus on the series, focus on the content, make it great again, make it relevant, get the fans back on board.
Make the walkers great again.
Yeah, make the walkers great again. I don't think it's a 3 movie series with Rick that's gonna make fans come back again.
Sure.
I think they just need to focus on what they have now.
Okay.
Or probably decide to end it by season 10 and just finish the whole thing because...
I mean, it's technically overstayed its welcome for 5 seasons.
Yes.
Technically. If it was supposed to be the 4 season
arc. 4 seasons.
Right.
So those are my 2 cents on the
and
whole...
And then what about Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad. So as you said, they want to make a movie about...
Focusing on
Pinkman.
Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse Pinkman. Running away from the neo-Nazis. I'm completely against this.
Okay.
Because the show...
Even with the original creator coming back and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the show finished where it should have finished.
Right.
And that's it. Don't mess with things which... Are perfect.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, it's one of the best shows ever made with one of the best finales. Everything was perfect. And what are they, again... Banking on nostalgia, banking on they want to make more money out of it. Just, I am sure that there are thousands and thousands of topics that
they can
explore. It doesn't, there can be a new Breaking Bad, not a new show, a different show. So every day.
Yeah, but they already have one called with Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Like that's already kind
exactly.
of.
Exactly. Within the same universe,
within
but
the
before.
Within the same universe, but before and all that.
So just. Be
again,
original.
It's going back to Hollywood's wanting to guarantee an audience, and to
playing
do that, they want to play it safe, and they want to make sure that whatever they're creating has mental real estate.
Yes,
so,
yes.
like, but again, this is kind of it's an ugly circle because we're just gonna keep seeing recycled things going about, and it seems that originality is. Everybody's allergic to it, apparently.
I'm so happy when they announce like Golden Globe nominees and there's a series that's new.
New.
Has nothing to do with anyone. And I just rush to go watch it and it's refreshing.
It is refreshing. What's not refreshing is the constant hate that some film franchises continue to get.
Yeah.
So earlier this week, there's I guess it's a leak or a rumor that's spreading around that the Avatar sequels, which was supposed to be a trilogy, but then with Disney I think it was with the merger of Fox, Disney has given James Cameron a little bit more capital, so he's finishing off 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So there's going to be 5 Avatar films in total. There are rumors about the titles, and apparently a lot of people have issues with the titles, and they're not liking them, and they're proclaiming that Hollywood doesn't know how to title sequels, and I read them, honestly.
They're interesting.
I'm not bothered by any of these titles. Like, some people are calling them ridiculous and ludicrous and whatever, and I'm like, I don't understand why. Yeah. I mean, Avatar is already, the concept of Avatar is very fantasy-esque. It's very sci-fi fantasy. I mean, it's like Pocahontas in space. Yeah. I mean, literally, that's what it is. And, you know, when you look at the Star Wars movie titles, I mean, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. I mean, those are also like, if you're going to judge titles, like, you might as well just go all the way, you know? The Force Awakens, you know, like.
But I love these all these titles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of them, but I'm just saying, like, if you want to be critical, like, be critical of everything, because whatever. But here are the rumored titles. So for Avatar 2, we're getting Avatar The Way of Water, which we all know, we've heard this enough times, James Cameron is focusing the second Avatar film on the oceans of Pandora. The third one would be called The Seed Bearer. The fourth one would be called The Tolkien Rider. And then the fifth one, which is the finale, would be called The Quest for Ewa, which makes absolute sense.
Exactly.
That this is what it would be called. Honestly, I don't have a problem with these titles. I actually like them. And they've almost reinvigorated my excitement for these movies, because I always thought that I don't know if we needed that many Avatar films. But I'm not bothered by it. And James Cameron is a good director, and I like what he puts out. Yeah. So, you know, the films that he directs and all that stuff. So
I assume,
since he's the one in charge of all of them, it's I'm good with that.
Yeah. I assume it's all the people who hated the first movie and hated the fact that it's the top grossing movie of all times. Yeah. So, you know, they just want to, like, poop the party or whatever.
Be party poopers.
Yeah, exactly. But the titles are nice. They make sense. They're in the mythos of Pandora.
Yes, exactly.
What I think there's an issue with the second name.
The Seed Bearer.
Yeah, that's the one. But could be anything.
It could be literally, it could be anything. Yeah. It could be anything. But I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm okay with these titles. I like them. I'm a big fan of the first Avatar film.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see what James Cameron gives us. I think next year, the first one is supposed to come out next year, or 2020, right?
2020.
Okay. But
here's where I'm super excited, because the first one was what, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Yep. With the technology that's advanced so much right now.
Well, he's had to advance technology because he wanted to shoot 3D underwater and motion capture underwater.
Exactly.
So he's really had to advance technology.
So I can't wait to see visually how this is going
to
be. And he's always been a master of visuals.
Yes, a master innovator and a master of visuals when it comes to cinema. On the other side of the fence, with people hating the Avatar thing, you know, we got a little piece of news from Disney and Lucasfilm literally on Friday that has reunited Star Wars fans
again,
which is fantastic. The second live action series has been announced, and it made me all giddy.
Yeah, I was super happy.
Apparently, this series is going to follow a character from Rogue One, which is very arguably the most loved out of the new films that have come out. I think it's the one that received the most fan thumbs up as well as critical thumbs up. It has one of my favorite Darth Vader scenes ever.
Yeah.
Because I'm a huge Vader fan. But we are going to be following a series based on or leading essentially Cassian Andor.
Yep. Mr. Diego Luna.
Mr. Diego Luna.
Yeah.
And I am pumped, because he's like the you know, like a spy, and it kind of, again, and I think this is something that Lucasfilms should learn from Marvel, is to start re-including, because again, Star Wars had sci-fi and fantasy in it.
Yes.
And I think it's time that we maybe expand on what Star Wars is, the world of Star Wars, or the universe of Star Wars can give us.
Yeah.
So if this is like a Star Warsian espionage kind of thing, like, I'm talking double agents and the Empire and the rebels and the
I'm excited because he was one of the most interesting characters in Rogue One.
I think Rogue One as a whole is just a very interesting movie.
Definitely. But in that film, he was really like very interesting. And they barely scratched the surface. Right.
This is why he's very interesting.
Who he was or why he's driven to.
Yes.
And despite all that, he was loved. Uh-huh. So very interested to see how it goes back, how he became this character. And as much as I love Star Wars, it doesn't always have to be force driven.
Yeah.
It can be, as you said, more character driven, more like espionage, more storytelling.
Yeah, but you do understand that, like, with them doing this, like, there's a lot of potential for characters like, Guardians of the Quills, the what's his name? He was with the staff and the Asian dude in Rogue One, where he was like a force user, but he wasn't a Jedi.
Yeah, the blind guy and the other guy.
I can't believe I forgot his name. But you could, essentially what I'm saying is that you could now, you could go and deal with them.
Yes.
And see more of the mythos of Star Wars. Chirrut, that's it.
He was the guardian of the temple.
Right. The guardian of the Quells or the Quills. Yeah. Which is essentially what George Lucas intended when he was first creating Star Wars. There was this big section in the Star Wars story about the Guardians of the Quills and whatever before they started calling them Jedi. And but it's a very interesting period in the Star Wars mythos.
Absolutely.
I'm very excited to see what they can offer us. And I love the fact that Diego Luna is coming back to take on the
same actor, which is fantastic.
Yeah. I'm super excited for this. I hope K2SO is in it because
he was one of the... He's an awesome droid.
I love him. Like on the scale of like C-3PO, R2-D2, BB-8, K2-SO, I can't even remember the one in Solo, but who cares?
Yeah.
I literally like R2, K2, BB, and then C-3PO.
Okay.
No, wait, C-3PO and then BB-8 is like my least favorite when you put them all together.
I
like
them.
No. Listen, I like them.
I know, but if you had to like kind of rank them a bit.
I mean, you can't go wrong with R2-D2.
No,
man.
R2-D2.
R2-D2 is a legend. Yeah, legend.
We go back to heart.
The three H's.
Yeah.
With the unfortunate for us, but fortunate for them, but with the unfortunate success of Venom, we are slowly reaching a very frightening possibility that we might have a Spider-Man-less MCU. This is...
it's not good.
This is no bueno. No bueno indeed. So essentially what's happening is this. Because of Venom's massive box office success...
Yep.
Essentially, when you look at the strategic aspects of... what is happening, Disney now is going to have to fight tooth and nail to keep Spider-Man in the MCU because he was only contracted to be shared for 5 films.
Yes.
And those 5 began with Civil War and now end with Far From Home.
Yep.
And an Avengers Infinity War part, or the second part.
Yeah,
or
the
Avengers
second part,
4.
And then you have
and then Far From Home. So Far From Home ends the MCU Spider-Man as we know it. Now, this isn't confirmed, but if this is the reality that we're going to have to live in, I'm not happy because Sony didn't do such a great job with Spider-Man after Spider-Man 2. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. Like everything went downhill from there.
I was okay with the first Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, okay, fine, okay.
I thought they got their stuff together, you know?
But then they did the same mistake of the Amazing Spider-Man 2 as they did in
28,000 villains. Right. And
instead of, you know, the same thing that happened with Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Where it was like Venom and
Sandman
and the
Green Goblin's son.
Yeah, Green Goblin's son, the Hobgoblin.
Yeah. Harry.
Yeah. I don't like this. No. I don't like even the possibility of this. I think Spider-Man belongs with the Marvel, you know, the Avengers. And this thing is very scary. Now, I don't know how much Disney is willing to fight for Tom Holland, Because technically speaking, the article that I read did say that they will be, Sony will be snatching Tom Holland. So Sony likes Tom Holland as...
I don't think they can change the actor right now at this point. There's been too many changes in the too short amount of time.
It'll be very confusing.
It'll be weird.
But I really hope Disney and Sony work something out.
Look, I think it's too soon because, okay, Sony did one movie right now, which is Venom.
Right.
Let's see. They have Morpheus and they
Morbius.
Have Morbius. Morpheus. That's the Matrix guy.
Matrix.
Oh, my God. And then they have Kraven the Hunter and so on. Let's see what happens with those. Let's see what happens with Far From Home. Let's see box office numbers, success.
Right.
And then... everything will be clearer. I think it's too early to speculate. We still have Avengers Part 2 coming out next year.
Avengers 4.
Yeah, Part 2 of the Infinity War, if you want.
Which apparently is a three-hour movie as it stands right now.
Yeah, and seems to be going towards Avengers Annihilation.
Annihilation.
Oh, wow. I need some Red Bull. So I think let's wait and see what happens. If it does happen, it's very sad. But Marvel have done it without Spider-Man for...
I mean, I know, but, it's...
We've come to love this character. He's part of this universe. It would be weird without him. I don't think it would not function without him.
Well,
it'd be fine.
True.
There are a lot of other characters in the MCU. And maybe they'll have a shared custody thing where he'll be able to do a movie here and a movie there. I don't know how contractually that would work.
I don't even know how that would work.
Yeah. But they would have to work on something very smart and very precise.
Yeah. That's a little scary. But moving on, apparently director Ryan Coogler wants Black Panther, the sequel, to be a more relevant and a much deeper sequel. He wants to tell a much stronger story than he did in the first one. Apparently, which was also recently confirmed that T'Challa's sister is also going to be in the sequel.
Yep.
So, which is just kind of nice because I really like the bond between them.
Shuri.
I think it was like Shuri.
Suri.
Something like that. But look, I believe in Ryan Coogler. I loved what he did directorially. I love what he did with Creed. I love what he did with the first Black Panther. Although I'm not a big fan of the movie itself, I still see the addition of Ryan Coogler, what he's done to the MCU. So I have no doubts that whatever he comes up with is going to be something very relevant. And again, when you look at the source material, I am sure there are tons and tons and tons of really good stories. But I am interested to see how he picks up from, the end of Black Panther, which, where Wakanda is open to the world. I really hope that there are some consequences to this because it can't all be sunshine and daisies.
Absolutely.
So
I think he's the right choice. It's always been nice when certain directors have had follow-up movies in the MCU. And I don't see anyone else but him directing the second Black Panther. And I'm sure, to me, he did a great job in the first one. I like it more than you do. And we've had this conversation a few times.
Yeah.
So I think the Panther is in safe hands.
Yeah, sure. Also, the Eternals, which is the new addition to the MCU, is going to start filming as early as
next year.
Jan of 2019, I think, is the date.
Jan or June?
It was a J.
I think it's in June.
June? Okay, so summer of 2019, the Eternals is going to start filming. Now, honestly, I don't know anything about these heroes, much like I had no idea who the Guardians of the Galaxy were. But on that note, this is what excites me about the Eternals, is that they are not characters that are very known.
Yep, like Guardians of the Galaxy, as you said.
Yeah, and that excites me. And maybe the push to delay Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe this is a good thing so that they can kind of redo it the right way. I know that there's been a shuffle up in the comic book series as to who in fact is a guardian now, because the not everybody that's in the original team is. Still the
originally it was a different team, even to begin with.
What I'm saying is that they've just rebooted the series with a new bunch of people. And I think Adam Warlock is in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about this. I don't know who's directing it. We don't know who's directing it, do we?
From, I also, I'm not a like big fan. Not a fan, but I'm not into the Eternals that much.
Okay.
But from what I kind of read,
okay,
they might use them to introduce the X-Men because they come from another planet.
Right, and the X some, gene is going to...
The X gene, yeah. So that definitely, if they use that could be interesting. To bring on Wolverine and the whole gang.
Yeah, to expand into the X-Men universe. Yeah. I'm excited about this. This is kind of good news. It's fun to kind of see because, again, next year is very MCU dead. We only have two MCU films that we know of next year.
Yeah, but
they're going to be massive. Yeah. But again, it's, you know, when you go from a year where you have like three or four MCU films.
But again, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's not a negative. I'm just saying it's nice to see, to start hearing what the plans are
for the next
couple of phases, you know, mm-hmm. knowing Kevin Feige and Bob Iger. And finally, before we end this segment of the show, Kingsman 3, mm-hmm. Soon to be Kingsman 3 brought to you by Disney, is apparently going to be moving forward without Taron Egerton.
Egerton.
Who is going to be the Robin Prince Hood. Of Thieves very soon, at the end of this month, I think, the film comes out, 21st, as well as Elton John in Rocket Man. Listen, I'm a huge fan of Taron Egerton. I love him a lot, and I love him in the Kingsman series, but I've also seen him in a few other films. You told me that apparparently there's speculation that Kingsman 3 is a prequel series.
It takes place during World War II. Okay. That's what I had read.
Okay.
And it has Brad Pitt and someone else attached. I forgot, but another big name.
Okay.
That could work. So like a small breather for him. And then he would come. Because he said he's not done with the series. He's just not going to be in the third movie.
One. Right.
So that could work. And plus, they do want to expand the whole X-Men universe.
Kingsman universe.
Oh my God. Did I say X-Men?
You did. That's okay.
I'm a Marvel person. Yeah,
it's all right.
So the whole Kingsman universe. And they want to do the Statesman, the American version.
Right.
So they have a few things.
Although now with the Disney merger, you don't know what's going to stay and what's going to go.
Exactly. But they can play around with that universe.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. It's going to be interesting to see how that takes shape as well. I mean, an origin story to the Kingsmen is not how a bad
they,
idea.
Yeah. How
I
they came of, to be.
I kind of like that because then you could present opportunity for Michael Caine to come back and, you know.
A younger Michael Caine.
A younger Michael Caine to come back and all that stuff. So that's exciting. So anything else we want to say about this?
I think that's all, folks.
All right. So here we are at the Lebanese. Local box office with the top five films of this week. Hod, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
All righty. So at number five, we're with Johnny English, Strikes Again. It's at 5,719.
This week.
Entries this week. A total of 99,261 in 7 weeks. Bravo, Rowan Atkinson.
Yes, bravo, Johnny English. In at number four is Nutcracker and the Four Realms. This is its first week, and it's made 6,438.
Absolutely. Kind of makes sense.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense.
Very logical. Number three, The Hunter Killer, which also makes sense. The Gerard Butler and Gary Oldman submarine film.
Yep.
At its second week, it has done 8,174 with a grand total of 17,857 entries.
That's the second week,
so,
correct?
Yep. So, yep. I think it'll stay around next week, too.
In at number two, just to confirm that we do have a profit amongst us, the Hod Solo. No. In at number two is, I'm so happy this is in at number two personally, is Bohemian Rhapsody, the Rami Malek star. This is its first week and it's made 9,840. It's had 9,840 entries this week. It's a good start for this film. Hopefully it keeps up the momentum and it can live forever.
Well played. It will rock you.
It will rock you if you give it a chance. And at number one.
At number one, by just a bit, by not a lot, but Capernaum is still at number one, ladies and gentlemen and screeners. It's been in the theater for 7 weeks. This week, it made 10,794 entries with a grand total of 153,536
This is insane.
Entries. So
this
almost
is so crazy.
154,000 entries.
This is so crazy.
Very happy. I'm so excited that this has been number one for 6 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, because the first week it wasn't on top.
It wasn't on top the first week, but it's climbed and it's remained a queen or king or whatever.
Yeah.
It has reigned across the box office for the past 6 weeks, which is crazy for a Lebanese film to keep up this sort of momentum. And I love that 6 weeks later, we're still talking about this movie. This excites me. This excites me. I am very, I like how it's starting to shift because I think for a while we were basically listing the same names over and over and over. But I like that there was this shift.
Did you notice something on the streets? So the movie has been number one first 7 weeks. Now I'm starting to see billboards.
Yeah, more billboards.
For the movie.
Yeah.
So I think they want to keep the momentum because they know that a lot of movies are coming in this week.
Sure.
From now till the end of the year, including the new Fantastic Beasts movie,
which I think might dethrone it to second place. Because remember, you've got Fantastic Beasts coming out. You've got Robin Hood coming out.
Yeah.
You know,
eventually you have Mary Poppins.
I honestly don't know how long they're going to keep it in the movie theaters. It's again, like I said, it's been almost, what is it? It's almost been 2 months that it's been in the movies, which is a good number of, it's a good duration. It's a good time. It's a good amount. So that is very interesting. But yes, let's see what happens when the massive franchises start kicking in. You know, because, you know, you mentioned Mary Poppins in December. I don't know how much longer I don't know if it'll still be around in December. It might be. It might be a marketing plan to keep it in until the end of the year.
It could shift towards the top 10, a bit lower.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I think come award season, they're going to push for it.
Kind of what they did with The Insult last year. There was another kind of push for it.
Especially if there's a nomination for it.
For sure, for sure.
If there is, and I hope, and I cross my fingers, then
it
there's
was picked up by Sony, wasn't it? Like Sony were the people that picked it up. Sony
in
Classics?
The US. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I do know I read somewhere that it's out on December 14th
in the US. Yeah, yeah.
So to all our US listeners, screeners, please go check it out.
Well, I mean,
it's like a really good film.
Like I said, it's like a massive. It's a perfect marketing stance to release a film like this during the time of giving.
Yes.
You know, it's very smart. And whoever the company is that bought the film, well done on your strategy. Because it's not a feel good Christmas movie, but it is a wake up call Christmas movie.
And it's not a Christmas movie, but
it's not.
It falls
But it falls in the season. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very interesting that this is where we're at. I am really hoping, like you said, I am really hoping for the Oscar nomination and the Oscar nod. That would be a lot of fun. 2 years in a row for Lebanon. That is massive.
First.
That is massive.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any of the current top five are going to drop off?
Definitely. Johnny English, I think, is reaching the end. Nutcracker is going to...
Yeah, Nutcracker won't last much on the top five.
I do feel that...
Hunter Killer?
Will stay because it's a type of movie Lebanese people kind of enjoy.
I think it'll drop the moment Robin Hood comes out.
Yes, exactly. That's like in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's where there'll be a massive change. But for the time being, I do see Bohemian Rhapsody still in the top five.
Oh, for sure. Fantastic Beasts
I think will be number one. I feel.
Well, this is the thing though. Rotten Tomatoes released their tomato meter score and it's a 56,
But regardless, I think people are going to go watch it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Potterheads, regardless of what the critics say, Potterheads are going to go watch. That's exciting to see what's coming out next, you know, how it's going to shift next week. Script to screen recommendations real quick.
Yep.
Go ahead with
yours.
I'm
going to recommend Californication, the TV show.
All right.
With David Duchovny as Mr. Hank Moody. I've always wanted to be Hank Moody because he's such a badass.
Okay.
He's very cool. He's very, like, you know, he doesn't care. Womanizer, messes up left and right, loves his daughter, loves his ex-wife. His manager is hilarious. It's a very good show. It's a very well-written show. It's one of those kind of, I think, iconic characters we missed talking about in previous episodes. It's definitely one to recommend. It's done. It's finished. There's 7 seasons. You can watch the whole thing.
But it was on HBO Showtime.
It was on HBO.
It was on HBO?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of, you know, I'm not sure HBO or Showtime.
Showtime. I think Showtime. It was on Showtime.
Showtime.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, like a lot of sex, drugs, kind of like a crazy show.
All right.
Good show. How about you?
Well.
I think I know.
Yeah. I mean, with the sequel coming out next week, I am definitely going to be recommending Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Just in time for the sequel coming out next week.
Yep.
The premiere is on my birthday, which is exciting.
Oh yeah.
I might even dress up. I don't know.
Ooh.
You know, come with the scarf.
Yeah, I didn't imagine you coming naked. I mean,
well, yeah. No. I meant like dress up as, you know, to celebrate Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. So, I mean, I personally loved Fantastic Beasts. I've seen it twice already. In the past week, I've seen it twice.
Okay.
And the more I watch it, the more, and this is strange, and I need to kind of like speed it up, but the more I like it more than the Harry Potter franchise.
Okay.
And I think it's because this is very new. It's fresh. Yes, it's based in the same world, but this is new stories mm-hmm. that J.K. Rowling is trying to tell. And because we're dealing with adults, we're not dealing with kids in Fantastic Beasts. In the storyline, they're adults. She's able to dig deeper into the mythos. And
do you like, you know, the era?
I think that
plays a big part.
I love the era. Yeah. I love the fact that it's in the 20s. Yeah. Again, this is going to span 5 films. There's going to be, you know, 3 more after The Crimes of Grindelwald. And it is going to be spanning 19 years.
Yeah.
So I know there's a 3-year gap between Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them and the sequel. So I don't know what the time gaps are going to be in the others, but it's supposed to be spanning 19 years. So go and watch it. Eddie Redmayne is so fantastic to watch. He's so charismatic.
Great.
Basically.
Great.
On that note, we are going to be signing off. And as usual, make sure you're subscribing, commenting, you know, reaching out to us all over our social media. You can follow me on Instagram at Alan Mahana and
Hat Solo.
Dot.
Had dot solo, yeah.
Had dot solo.
Had dot solo.
We very recently shifted to a brand new podcast hoster. So you're going to be able to find us on more podcast, platforms. Which is very exciting. We're going to have way more outreach. So I'm excited about that. You can check out our website,
YouTube.
Facebook.
We're all over.
Yeah, we're all over. We want to thank you so much for tuning in every week, for listening to us. There are a lot of you that have been reaching out, and I love this. I love that our conversation is starting to grow and that you guys are enjoying us.
Yep.
I've been hearing this from a lot of people, from a lot of our friends posting that they're listening to the show. We love this. We love that you're including us in your lifestyle now. This is so fantastic. So I couldn't thank you enough.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great, great weekend. And we'll see you next Friday.
Absolutely, for Spotlight with a very special guest.
Very special guest.
Which is exciting because the final couple of episodes are going to be filled with guests and all that stuff, all leading to Christmas and the end of the year round table. Thank you guys again. We'll see you next week.